Today, I have a little life update and a marker of grace. I'm sharing with all my Sheeproofs faithful friends and listeners four gifts of grace during a time of grief. Welcome to the Sheeproofs Faithful Podcast, episode number 44, Truth and Encouragement to Live Gospel-Centered Lives Every Day. I'm your host, Lauren Lushak. Hello, sweet friends, and thank you so much for joining me on the Sheeproofs Faithful Podcast today. It's kind of a funny episode. I don't want to say funny, but I have a story to share of something that the Lord is doing in my life. And it's one of those things where, do you share now? Is it too soon? Do you even share at all? Is it oversharing? Is it too fresh? But I just want to share with all of you what's going on because I truly cannot contain the overflowing thanksgiving I have for God in this difficult time. It is truly a work of the Spirit, and I cannot not give God the glory. And I hope that it encourages many of you ladies whose lives may be touched by grief in some way. Let me share a quick story. My husband and I, we have two amazing, beautiful children. They're 4 and 1.5, and we want a big family. We really do. We want lots of children. We believe that children are a gift from the Lord. They call it our heritage. This is who is going to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ as we disciple children right in our very own homes to go out and be disciples in their own family units. And if you've listened to my podcast, I've said it before, where so goes the father, so goes the family. So goes the family, so goes the church. So goes the church, so goes the nation. And so really, we have this incredible opportunity. So we love children. We want more children. I have a unique obstacle in having children, in that I was born with a congenital heart defect. If you listen to the anxiety episodes, I think it's 31 and 32, I share some of my journey that I had open heart surgery twice in my life, once as an 11-month-old baby, and then once right before my first wedding anniversary. That was a real fun time in my life. Love to think back of that. Just giving God the glory there for that one. But I don't know how healthy my heart will be to have physical children for very long. And so we are so blessed with two. And we kind of wanted to have more sooner than later because my heart is doing really well right now. And so my husband and I, we thankfully got pregnant this year and we were so excited. Found out on Easter we were going to have a Christmas Day baby. I mean, both my children came 10 days early, so who knows what would have happened. But went in for the 7-week appointment. I go in often because of my heart. I have lots of appointments because I'm high risk, and saw that little heartbeat. You know, you're always nervous. You're like, oh Lord, please be with me. And saw that little flicker and I was so excited, left praising the Lord, and then went back a month later. So last Monday, and found out that the baby had passed away. And so not only that, had the baby's heart stopped beating, but it had stopped beating shortly after that first appointment. So here I was supposed to be 12 weeks pregnant, just easing out of first trimester, feeling, you know, all the morning sickness, all the fatigue, everything that comes along with pregnancy, no cramping, no signs of miscarriage, felt pregnant, looked pregnant. I mean, let's be honest, I feel like when that test goes positive, the genes start, you know, unbuttoning, and I just eat all the chocolate. So I was kind of shocked to get this news. And of course, the first thing I honestly thought of when she said, oh, Lauren, I'm so sorry, but the baby is not alive. And the first thing I thought of was, honestly, do you guys know the Duggars? I mean, who doesn't know the Duggars? I haven't watched a lot of their episodes on TV. They have a reality TV show called 19 Kids and Counting, maybe 20 Kids and Counting, I don't know. But they have this reality show, and one of their children that Michelle Duggar was pregnant with around, I think, the 20-week appointment, same thing, went in and the baby had passed away. And I remember watching that episode out of like the 5 that I've watched and just being in awe of their faith, that the first thing they did, I mean, they were weeping and mourning, but they sat there and they praised God together. And that moved me so much because I thought, do I have the faith that if I had news like that, that I could sit there and weep and mourn and still thank God? And so I thought about that. I thought about this reality TV episode as I'm there and I'm thinking, praise your name, Lord, praise your name, let your name be praised. I'm just so grateful for that example of faith that helped me in my own time of grief. So I had to drive home, and the hospital that I go to is quite a distance from our house because it's where I had my open heart surgery and everybody's on a team there, cardiologists, OBs. So I drove home and I couldn't call my husband in the car. It's just too much. I didn't want to, you know, be blinded by tears, and just kept trying to pray to the Lord on the way home. Got home and was able to share the news with my husband. And the doctor had taken a picture of our little baby on the ultrasound, and I asked if I could keep it so I could have one last picture of this baby. And we sat there, and my kids are playing in the little pool out back, and we're like, oh my gosh, I have this four-year-old who's so excited and has been praying for a baby sister, and here we have to tell her the news. And so, you know, through the grace of God, we sat and told her, and she wept with us, and we cried together, and we decided, you know what, let's name this baby and give her a name that we can remember what God did. And the really neat thing is that something I didn't think about until I got a card from a friend at church was that it says in Psalm 139 that God knits us together in our mother's womb, that in the secret place he formed us. That means he has intention for every human being starting at conception. And it had never been as real to me as this past week of what that really meant, that there was a soul, a living being inside of me that the Lord purposely was putting together. He put that baby together, and then he decided it was time for that baby to go to glory. Praise the Lord. And just thinking about his intention in that life gave me so much joy that God is a God on purpose, that he is the author of life. And so we decided, let's name this baby because God had intention for it. And the intention is to advance the gospel, that we might praise him, that people might know him. And that's another reason I wanted to share this, because glory to God. And so we don't know if that baby was a little boy or little girl. I thought it might be a boy because River, my daughter, wanted a girl so bad. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes God just throws a wrench in our lives, you know, when you're like, baby sister, no, the baby brother. But so we decided that we would call her a baby girl, and we named her Noel because Noel means Christmas, a glad Christmas tiding of Christ's birth, and a Christmas feast, which is, we love to feast at our house. We love the food. And so little Noel, we named her, and we praised God for her, and we celebrated her life together. And so that happened a week ago today, and it's been a rocky journey of revealing all sorts of things in my life. And the first thing that I kind of dealt with or walked into was, the first 12 weeks are so hard. They're so hard because you're so tired and you're so sick, and you're at the beginning of this long journey of sacrificing your body, your physical body, for the life of another. And it's emotionally draining to think, oh my goodness, I just did 12 weeks, and how could I lose life at 12 weeks? How could I do this again? And just this frailty that came over me, and this weakness and this selfishness, honestly, that was exposed of, I am uncomfortable and I don't like this, and I want this to go my way, and I want to endure this in my time and in my strength. And so the Lord exposed that right away, and the fears that I had of trying again, of having to go through more physical pain of labor, of pregnancy and of labor. And this might sound insensitive to people who have been trying for a while, Who have had a hard time conceiving or even have miscarried themselves several times. And I'm not trying to be insensitive at all. I'm just exposing, I'm being completely vulnerable about the things that I've thought about in the past week. And that was the first thing of how could I do this again? It's so hard for me. And so I had to lay that at the Lord's feet. And it was so, God's grace is so good because every time I laid these fears and anxieties and these even emotional upsets at the foot of the Lord, God's grace was there to meet me and wash over me and bless me with his peace and his thanksgiving and his joy and just honestly comfort. And one of the second things that the Lord revealed to me was just my timeline and how I think I'm in control. And I didn't think that there would be anything wrong with this pregnancy. I don't go into the appointments assuming the worst because I lived probably 31 years of my life assuming the worst. And it just led to fear and anxiety and dread. And so through the Lord's grace and through his word and through his power of his Holy Spirit, I'm trying to hope in all circumstances because hope expects good. And so I was very hopeful about this pregnancy, but I realized when the OB told me that this baby had passed away, that my timeline was crushed because here I feel like I'm a ticking time bomb. Like my heart is only healthy for so long. So what can I do here? God, if you, I have a timeline, plus I'm almost 35 and that's like geriatric pregnancies and I can't be pregnant next year because then I'm like doubly high risk. And then what if we have a multiple pregnancy? Then I'm like double, triple high risk. And this is impossible for me. And it was just this eye opener of, Lauren, you are challenging the sovereignty of God. You're coming up against a God who is all knowing, who is all powerful, who is all loving and all wise and all good. And here I'm running up against him and saying, listen here, I have a plan and it's better than yours. And so those two things were immediately exposed in my heart. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that the Lord in his kindness used this little baby, Noel, to spur me on, to trust him, to know his goodness, to rely on him. Now, one of the first verses that honestly popped into my head as we began grieving the little loss of Noel was Hebrews 4:16, which says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." And I love that verse because it's an open invitation. And really, when we think about our state as human beings, who the Lord writes about us in very honest ways, that we are like sheep, go astray, each of us going to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So we're like sheep, we go astray. We are burdened by sin that cannot be overcome except through a Savior. And then the fact that he says we're like grass, that we're dust, that we will return to, we're made from dust and we'll return to dust. And Jesus in Hebrews says he has compassion on us because he knows our frailty. And so really, Hebrews 4:16 is not just for times that we're grieving. It's not for just times of hardship or difficulty or sorrow. This is at all times. So friends, this is an open invitation because we are needy. We are needy people in need of a Savior. We are frail. We need a Savior to hope in. We need a Savior to guide us, to love us, to shepherd us, to nourish us. And so this is an invitation at all times that we can approach the throne of grace, God's throne of grace, with confidence to receive mercy and find grace to help us. God is so good, and it's all done through Jesus Christ because he shed his blood for us. Now, that verse has then helped me kind of come up with these four graces that God has given me this week, and I wanted to share them with you because I thought, man, maybe you're grieving. Maybe you've had a loss like this, an infant loss. Maybe you have, you're grieving in another way. Maybe you know someone who's in grief, or maybe grief will come to your doorstep at some point in your life. These are graces that God gives each one of us and that He's shown me. And that's why I wanted to share this podcast, because I am so grateful for His work and the work He's done. So these are four graces that God has given me and that He gives His people in time of need. The first grace is His Word. His Word is living and active. Every verse just jumps off the page, and especially in this time of grieving, of just being sad, the verses that I've known, the verses that I read, just seem to be saturated in deliverance. And what I'm seeing over and over again is not like, oh, Lauren, things will be better tomorrow. Cheer up, chin up. You're awesome. You're my superstar. You know, you do great things. What I see over and over again, the things that are jumping off the page to me, is that Jesus died for my sins. That in this time of grief, I can go to the Lord and realize that He has done something that was impossible for me to do, and that's forgiveness. That is putting me at peace with God, that I deserve God's wrath. I deserve hell, and yet He has extended me mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. And during this time, the Lord, one of His graces is to remind me of how deep that runs and how meaningful that is. And Psalm 103 has just been so sweet to me. I'm going to read the first five verses. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." This psalm, just the first three verses, are dripping with the true gift of Jesus Christ that's been given on our behalf. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Did you hear some of them? Some of those benefits? Who forgives all our iniquity, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good. God is awesome. He is so kind to us. And that has been a psalm that has just dripped with healing for me, just remembering what He's done for me and really that I'm safe with Him. And it's just been such a comfort to my soul. It's been so good to see and read these verses when I'm realizing this theme, this common theme in the Bible, is that God's purpose is to grow His kingdom. And it's on every page of the Word. It's in every note of history. Anything that has happened, any event, any nation that has been birthed, it is all for the purpose of God and His glory. And so what does that actually mean? We're like, well, God, you think an awful lot of yourself, don't you? Well, He should. He created the world by speaking a word, okay? I can't even clean my kitchen with two hands and a bottle of Windex, okay? So what does that mean? It actually means salvation for people. When the advancement of His kingdom is His purpose, it means saving people from their iniquity, saving people from what they deserve, an eternity away from Him in hell. And so God extends such mercy and patience. His goodness and His truth and His beauty is advancing. And I just am so thankful that is one of the graces we see in our times of grieving. That is one of the comforts that God gives us, is to remember what He has done for us, how much He loves us, how close we are to Him because of Jesus. The second grace is that coming home after receiving that news gave me immediate perspective. Grief always does that. Grief always makes you zero in, dial it in, realize that life is so short, that you have such a small window of opportunity. Our lives really are but a mist. And I thought of my two kids, and I thought of all the wonderful, loving things I wanted to do to them, like smother them with kisses and give them popsicles and
go to the park and love on them and teach them the word of God and read to them and hug them. Oh my goodness. I looked at my kids and I praised the Lord. It gave me perspective that God has given me blessing here, right now. There's so much peace when we dial in our perspective and align it with the Lord's. And I love Colossians 3:15 that says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." It's part of the process that Thanksgiving gives us perspective, and our perspective makes us thankful. And that thankfulness and that perspective gives us a heart that is at peace because Christ is ruling there. The grace of perspective, the grace of kind of an eternal focus moment. You've all had those moments, you know, where you're like, oh my goodness, wake up. We gotta do something. Those moments I'm so thankful for, that's a comfort to my soul, a comfort to look around at what God has given me and how thankful I truly am. The third grace that God has given me as I've asked Him for mercy and grace in my time of need is community. And we're a part of a church here in Denver, and I'm so thankful, especially because the statistics in Denver are grim for evangelical Bible-believing Christians. I think it's 3-5% of people in Denver actually profess Jesus Christ as Lord, authoritative Lord of, in their life, as Savior, as the one, the only way to God, and that read their Bibles. 3-5%. And there's a lot of people here in Denver. Not as many people as other places, but a lot. And so we go to this small church plant here in Denver, and I'm so thankful for the people there and my friends. Even on Instagram, I shared this story and how the outpouring of people who say they're praying for us. Praise the Lord that His saints are interceding on our behalf, that you ladies are going before the throne of grace and asking for God to help us and comfort us. And it's truly, He is truly faithful to answer those prayers. And so thank you so much. And I immediately thought when this was all, you know, so, I mean, it's still so fresh, but in last week and in receiving the news, I was reading 2 Corinthians 1. So beautiful. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." I think Paul said comfort like 17 times there. And I just love reading those verses because I thought, oh my goodness, this is God's grace that other women who have walked this path of suffering are able to comfort me with the truth and the grace and the beauty that they've received from the Lord for the glory of God. And now I get that. I get to go and do a podcast and share the graces that have comforted my soul and in a time that has been painful, and to look at this and see such purpose, that there's purpose in our suffering, that God isn't malicious and He doesn't make us suffer just to see us squirm or because He has a malevolent heart. God has purpose in this. And part of the purpose, it says, is for others' comfort and salvation. It's a dying to ourselves that Christ may be glorified, that we may be comforted so that eventually other people might be comforted. And it's a work that happens in community. And so I'm so thankful for the cards and the prayers and the love that have been shared among the body of Christ. And it is something that is so meaningful, from gift cards to people volunteering to make a meal or host or take over some responsibilities. Even at church, one of my friends texted me like the second day and she said, "Hey, let me cover everything you have to do on Sunday. Just don't even worry about it. And that was so huge because we as women, we saddle ourselves with a lot and we have a lot going on. And then when something hits us where we feel like we just need time and we need a little bit of space, to have somebody step up and be like, don't even worry about your responsibility here. I'm going to do that. And then I had another friend that said, call me up. She's like, let me host small group this week. You don't worry about your house. You come over here. You don't even have to come. I'll do it. I'll make the meal. Praise the Lord for these people. And I'm so grateful for the body that functions together to encourage one another, to comfort one another with the love of Christ. The fourth grace that God has given me and has been a huge comfort in my life this week is the principle of sovereign joy and sovereign pain. Now, this sounds crazy, I know, but my pastor at New City preached about thriving and advancing and used Paul's letter to the Philippians, first chapter, when he is writing the Philippians and talking about his imprisonment and his sufferings. And it was so timely because he preached that the day before I found out that we had miscarried. And so I went back and I've listened to the sermon probably 3 or 4 times. And it's really beautiful because it's about advancing the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom and how Paul's sufferings did just that. But he talked about this principle of sovereign joy and sovereign pain. And that sovereign pain is basically pain that has been ordained by God, and that has been this miscarriage. And if you have pain in your life, we have to trust that God, who is sovereign over all things, over all people, over all events, that he has purposed this for us, for his glory and our good, and he will deliver us, even if that deliverance looks like eternity with him. So this sovereign pain that we experience, this grief that we have, can actually serve to advance the gospel. And joy, the sovereign joy part, comes from knowing that God will use it for his glory and his mission, and that we're part of that. It is so humbling to reflect back on parts of our lives that maybe were hard or difficult or even good, and say, the Lord used this to advance his work. I think about the disciples, and this is, I feel like, so minor in comparison sometimes, where when Jesus sends out the disciples and Acts, when the apostles had been persecuted, I mean, beat, and they rejoiced. They left rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for Christ. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, when we go through affliction, do we have that same attitude where we think, oh, for the glory of God? Thank you, Jesus. I love in Philippians, Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become throughout the whole imperial guard and all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that God uses sovereign pain. He used the imprisonment, the suffering of Paul, and he gave him sovereign joy. We know that the book of Philippians is like the book of joy. And we always find it crazy that here this man is in prison, that he faces death, physical death, for preaching Jesus, for preaching salvation and life. And he's glad. He's filled with joy. He says at the end, you know, other people are preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry, others out of goodwill. He says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. I'm so thankful for that. It's a hard place. It's really hard. But God gives us the comfort and the grace to endure sovereign pain with that sovereign joy. And another hard-hitting conviction, I was at a homeschool conference the past 3 days, which was a practical working out of God's comfort and grace, to find out hard news on Monday and then to look fast forward the week. And we're supposed to go to this 3-day conference about homeschooling, but it's also family discipleship. And it's just a beautiful time of learning about the gospel and marriage and Christ-centered everything. So I was really excited to go to that. And it was just perfect timing to sit for 3 days and let the grace of God's word and teaching just fill up my heart. But there were these brothers that came. They're called the Benham Brothers, Jason and David, and they have some books out. And they gave their testimony about they had this HGTV show that was supposed to air. It was all about flipping remodeled houses or whatever you call that. And they had filmed it and they were really excited. And basically, they got it pulled for their faith in Christ, that there was some organizations out there that hated Jesus and bullied HGTV into pulling their show. And you can read all about it. I'll link to them in the show notes. But something they said that I stared at them and I was like, this is where our faith meets reality. One of them said, if you love God for what he gives you, then you'll hate God for what he takes away. And I sat there and I thought, oh my goodness, how often do we look at the gift and praise the gift, and we're thankful for the gift, and we want the gift, and our eyes are on the gift, that we never ever even acknowledge or look to the giver, and we never think about the giver being the main point. And so that when God, the giver, takes away something, if our affection is tied to that something, then it will change the way we worship the Lord. That was big for me. I think that will be something that I'll have to tell myself often, as I know that dreams will come and go, and there will be successes and failures, and there will be more grief, and there will be more difficulties and hardships, and to remember that we don't love God for what he gives us, but we love God for being God, that he is the sovereign king of the universe, he's the creator, that we do praise him and thank him for the great things he has done for us, including salvation. But we don't look at the earthly material possessions that he gives us, and or the dreams that we have, or ideals that we want, even if they're so good, like this little baby, and put all our hope in that, to put our love and affection on things, on our plans and our dreams. Because when those things change, then our affections towards the Lord will change. So those are four graces that have given me such great comfort. God's word, greater perspective, and a heart of thanksgiving, a community who has loved us so well, and then God's sovereign joy in the midst of sovereign pain. And I want to remind us that God is at work every single day and every moment. His plans are vast and beyond tracing out, yet he orchestrates the tiniest flower growing in a forest. He knows and he loves and he cares. And I want to remind us that just being faithful in the day in and day out prepares us for the next day. I think about the Israelites who moved across the desert for 40 years. Now, it wasn't supposed to take that long. It was because they didn't trust the Lord, but God orchestrated each step and it led them to the promised land. God loves and he cares for us. And every day as we remain faithful to him and just even the mundane things, even just being faithful in your role as a wife and submitting to your husband and loving your husband and serving your husband and loving your children as mothers, as caring for their souls, as nourishing them with the word of God, preparing meals, being hospitable to people. Even in the everyday, as you remain faithful, God grows us for the next thing. Nothing is wasted. It's so good. And so every day, prepare your heart with faithfulness to God as he's faithful to you, and then through the truth of his word, that you might know his truth and his beauty and his goodness, that you might receive mercy and grace in your time of need, that you can go to him. And remember that what is happening to you is really serving to advance the gospel. The enemies of God will not prevail, including death. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. God is making a footstool for all his enemies, including death. There will be no tears in heaven. He will wipe it all away. Our grief will be ultimately healed because our iniquities are forgiven, and we have eternity with Christ Jesus, and that is secure in him. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And through Christ, he will not forsake us. Now, I know there are so many levels of grief, so many. And there are so many griefs that I can imagine are harder and more complex and more difficult. And I'm so thankful for the measure that God gives for each situation, and that he promises comfort to those who mourn, and that pain, even when it lingers, he still provides grace in those moments, even if it feels like eternity. And I just hope that this encourages you, because God has encouraged me, and I want to extend this comfort that he's given me to you. Whatever might be happening in your life, that he would comfort you. So I want to pray for all of us together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are the living God, the creator of the universe, that you created the stars and the sky, the ocean, teeming with creatures, and that you create life inside a mother's womb, that you knit us together on purpose, that you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us that serves to advance the gospel. God, we are humbled by that. We are humbled that you would consider us to be a part of your plan to bring your name glory. And I pray for all the women out there that are grieving loss, or are going through difficult times or heartache, or having a hard time with their marriage or their children. God, I pray that they would go to your throne of grace and find mercy and grace in their time of need. And Lord, would you remind us of every good thing we have in Christ through your Holy Spirit? Would you strengthen us and encourage us with your word, and may your name be famous. May we go and share the comfort we've received with others, Lord. May we be people who are filled with grace that we can extend. Would we be patient with others who are grieving, and patient with ourselves as we struggle, that we might continually go to you and acknowledge your name. For your glory, Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today and listening to my story. Again, I pray that it encourages you. And you can find more information on today's show notes at sheprovesfaithful.com/podcast/episode44. You can catch me on Instagram at sheprovesfaithful. Of course, I would love to connect with you. May you prove faithful in all the Lord has given you to do.